Exodus 15, and we're going to begin reading where we started last week. Exodus 15, how many of you know that every time you open your Bible, you can have a fresh outlook?
Amen.
Why is that? Because this book is like no other book. This book is full of not information, but revelation. Revelation means the author who wrote this book, every time you open it with an open and humble heart, he can whisper in your ear something new you never saw in it before. Amen. It's a living book, literally. Amen. So when we put our eyes on a scripture for the second time or the 202nd time, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit's right there. And if you listen to his voice, he can show you something fresh in the Bible you never saw before. Do you believe it?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's pray before we get into the word this morning. And we're going to ask him to do just that. Holy Spirit, come. Be our teacher now. Keep us from distraction, Lord, in these few moments ahead as we honor your word, as we honor these words of life. May your life fill us. May you save us. May you enrich us. May you deliver us. May you set us free, Holy Spirit, as truth permeates our hearts in these next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful for the Bible? You know, we got one on many bookshelves in our home, in the average Christian home, but I'm telling you, in places around the world, people literally weep when they receive their first Bible because they're in a country that's very anti-Jesus, anti-God, or they're just very poverty-stricken. They just don't have access to it. This is a precious book, amen? Don't ever take it for granted just because it's so common here in the States. Exodus, not Ephesians. That's Wednesday night. We're doing a study on Ephesians Wednesday night. Exodus 15:23. Would you look at it there with me? And when they came to Marah, however you want to pronounce it. In Texas, I will say Marah. They could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Say bitter. Do you know if you have sickness in your body, life for you is bitter? You know?
Yeah.
Remember years ago that guy that came out, they called him Dr. Death. Basically, he was helping people die who didn't want to live any longer. You know, when you have enough pain in your body, discomfort in your body, ache in your body, corruption in your body through disease and sickness, it can make life literally miserable. It can make every breath a pain and a torture, right? And that's why that guy was able to make a living, because there's some people that just said, take me out. I can't stand it anymore. Well, you can't blame them, right, for the motive. I mean, for the impetus of wanting to go that route. I'm not saying we encourage it. But, you know, when you don't have hope without Jesus, that would be the only out, right? But how many of you know we have hope?
Amen.
Here's the hope right here. But these people found bitter water. In verse 24, the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink? We can't drink this water." And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him. I hope you'll circle that word "showed him," or whatever your translation says right there. Circle it, highlight it, because it's very important. I want to say this about this word "showed." Sometimes your healing is tied up in your seeing. Now, in this story, he literally saw a physical tree. He saw something outwardly. But for us as New Testament believers, our healing sometimes is tied up in what we see in here. Spiritual eyes, I'm talking about. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? God shows you something that's wrong in your life. And you say, you make the correction. You make the adjustment. And in that adjustment, you find healing. And so God showed Moses something. He showed him what? He showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. That makes literally no sense at all. But you know, Moses and all those people that we read about in the Old Testament, when they were walking with God, a lot of what God said didn't make sense. There was another story where a prophet, there was an axe that fell into the water. An axe head, a guy borrowed an axe, and the axe head fell into the water. And a guy goes, "Oh, I borrowed that." And the prophet came, I forget what he threw. Was it salt? Someone help me out here. What did he throw in the water? Did he speak to it? Come on, someone know you about. Beverly, come on, Beverly, help me. What did the prophet do, for crying out loud, to get that axe head to float? Do you remember? Oh, it's a bad Sunday. My best students are... He did something, and it didn't make sense, and that axe head floated. I think he spoke to it, if I remember right. Do you remember, babe? Oh, somebody help me. We got to go back to Bible school. Anyways. But what did the prophet do? Well, it doesn't matter. We'll study it. Go home and read your Bibles. The prophet did something, and the axe head floated. The axe head floated. Amazing. Amazing. Well, Moses was told look at this tree over here. And he's looking at the tree going, yeah, a tree, but we're trying to get a drink here, Lord. Why are you showing me trees? And God said, throw the tree into the water. Now the tree represents, of course, what?
The cross.
Jesus makes the bitter waters of our life sweet. Amen. Very, very clear. All throughout the Old Testament, we see pictures of Jesus, and this is one. And therefore, for them, he made a statute, an ordinance that he proved them with. Verse 26, and he said, if you will diligently hearken, circle that phrase, diligently hearken. In the Hebrew language, which the Bible was originally written in, diligently hearken is the same word twice. It's like saying, listen, listen. If you will listen, listen, in the Hebrew, it's the word Shema. Any Jewish people in here familiar with the Shema? The Shema is a prayer that they say morning and night. And the Shema is that prayer, hear, O Israel. It starts off with the word what? Hear. Hear, O Israel. Shema. Shema. And what are they told to hear? The Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, right? The Jewish people pray that every day. It's called the Shema. It means to listen. But it starts off with the word listen. Listen, Israel. God is one. Therefore, we're not going to just love him with our mind, but not our heart, right? He's saying, be one in your love for me. A little Jewish trivia here for you, just a little insides. But he says here, diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Do that which is right in his sight. Give ear to his commandments. Keep all his statutes. There's a lot there that he's requiring. He says, I'll put none of these diseases upon you, which I've brought upon the Egyptians. For I am who? The Lord that healeth thee. Say it with me. The Lord that healeth thee. And we studied this out. We saw that in the Hebrew language, first of all, the word Lord is the word we translate. Transliteration is the word Jehovah, right? Jehovah. In the Hebrew language originally, reading right to left, because Hebrew people read right to left like Chinese people do. Yud, He, Vav, He. I mentioned it earlier. Yud is a picture of the hand. He is a picture of a window in the Hebrew alphabet. They have a picture for every letter in their alphabet. So we see a hand. Then we see the idea of a window. Vav is a picture of a nail or a hook. And again, the word He. God is saying, look at the hand, look at the nail. Another translation where you see He everywhere in this name, Jehovah, is the idea of grace. Of course, Jewish people don't understand that concept of grace because everything for them is works. Law. You got to do this to earn God's favor. Grace says you can't earn it. And the word hey in the Hebrew language is actually, it is the fifth letter in their alphabet. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Starts with Alev and it goes, you know, Bet and on down to hey. The letter hey is the fifth letter in the alphabet. Noah, when his name was mentioned the fifth time in the Bible, God said of Noah, and Noah found favor in the eyes of God. The fifth mention of the name Noah. Not five is the number of God's grace, God's favor. Amen? And so again, this is a concept that's foreign to the Jewish mind of the Old Covenant because they were all under works, earning, you know, doing this to earn God's favor. But the word hey means grace or look at, behold. So behold the hand, or you could say hand of grace, nail of grace. And that's what it means here when it says, I am the Lord. That word is translated Jehovah. You can write that out in your margin. Jehovah, J-E-H-O-V-A-H. That's the transliterated version of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Does that make sense? Are you with me?
Yeah.
I lose you?
Nope.
I lost you at the axe head, but I know. But we all got lost there.
It was a stick.
He threw in a stick. Thank you. I am the Lord. By the way, another asides with that word Lord. Do you know the first occurrence of the word Lord in your Bible? Again, now I got the answer on this one. I'm not lost on this. Okay. But I'm asking you, do you know where the first occurrence of the word Lord is? It happens in Genesis 2, verse 4. What has happened by Genesis 2, verse 4? God has created everything. In fact, he's rested. The seventh day has already occurred. He's created man. He's created creeps, birds, fish, trees, plants, grass. He's created everything. And in Genesis 2, 4, it says, the Lord God. Revelation 13:8 says, Jesus is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. Now that man came on the scene, guess what? Jesus had to die. Genesis 2:4, it's no longer just God said, let us make man in our image. God said, let there be light. No, it's the Lord God. See, Yud Heh Vav Heh has showed up on the scene. Why? Because man's been created. God knows from the beginning your needs. He gave Jesus to us before man had even sinned. Isn't that good? I'm going to say that again. Before you have a need, God has already supplied. He gave Yud Heh Vav Heh. He gave Jehovah. He gave Jesus, the Jesus cure for you and I, before sin had ever entered the picture. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, the Lord God. Now Jesus has been introduced. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Aren't you glad? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that's who we're talking about here when we see this picture of a tree thrown into the water. God said, if you'll throw that water in, the waters were made sweet. And God says, this is who I am, the Lord who heals you. Say that with me. The Lord who heals me. Praise the Lord. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20. Proverbs 4:20. Proverbs 4:20 starts off, my son. Now I want to pause right there. Because when you come into Christ, when you come into the Lord, you believe on Jesus, you take a position in the kingdom of heaven, and it is a position called sonship. Amen. Amen. So even though Solomon is writing this proverb, and he's writing it to his future children, his literal children, God is saying here, you are my children. Amen. You and I are his children. We reign in a position of sonship with the Lord. So there's this phrase, my son, speaks of relationship. Say relationship. Relationship. You have a relationship with God. And his relationship to you is he wants to be your healer. Now, most of us in here probably have a primary physician, somebody we go to regularly. If there's an issue, we run to him. But I want to challenge you with the faith exercise or the faith homework of making Jesus your primary care physician. That's a good goal for 2023. And I mean it seriously. We have our earthly physicians, and they're there to help the healing process, which comes through Jesus. But so many times, like the world, we go running to Egypt. We go down to Egypt when there's famine. We run to the physician in the natural when there's pain in our body, rather than running to Yud Heh Vav Heh, the man who took the nail for you. And he didn't only take the nail, he took stripes upon his back, the Bible tells us, for our healing. I want to encourage you to make Jesus your primary care physician in 2023. It says here, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. So we have hearing here involved. You know, sometimes hearing is your path to healing. Sometimes it's seeing something like Moses when he saw the tree. Other times it's hearing something. The Lord says, I don't want you to eat that anymore. It's bad for your system. Well, it might work over here in this person's digestive system, but maybe it's just not good for you. And you're hearing in that moment, your correction of the Lord in literally hearing his voice in that moment is a path to your healing. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. He says, my son here, open up your ears. Listen. Listen not only to my words, but it's not just listen to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. You understand? These words carry over into the idea of hearing God all the time. Amen. It's important to hear the Holy Ghost all the time, not just hear Proverbs. Admonition in this verse is talking about hearing God in general. Incline thine ear unto my sayings, verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. You know, there was a woman in Mark chapter 5. Hold your finger here in Proverbs 4. I want to jump over to Mark 5 real quick. Read this story. Mark 5, verse 25. The woman with the issue of blood. Well, you talk about the ultimate sickness. The very life, the Bible says, is in our blood. And if you're losing blood, you're literally losing life on a continual basis. I shared with you last week a story from John G. Lake. Remember that story I told you? He had a brother who had been an invalid for 22 years. His body was literally bleeding out quicker than they could replenish it. They found foods in his diet they could give him that would help produce blood. I don't know what kind of food that is. I don't eat it on a regular basis that I'm aware of, Evan, but apparently there was some food they found that would try to help regenerate blood in him, but he was losing blood quicker than they could get it in him. And but John G. Lake said that they heard of a preacher there in Chicago. This is back in around the early 1900s. And they took their brother, this one man had the guts to preach what God says about healing. And John G. Lake took his brother to that meeting, and his brother got instantly healed. God raised him up. cured him of that disease. Well, that's like the lady we're reading here in Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better. You ever been there? Sometimes that's the path we experience in the medical world. You spend all you had, you go to doctor after doctor after doctor, and you're nothing better. Amen. Thank God it's not always like that, but sometimes it's like that. And she was nothing better, but she rather grew worse. Ever been there? Maybe it's time for you to touch the hem of Jesus' robe. When she heard of Jesus, circle that phrase, heard of Jesus. What did she hear about Jesus? What do you think she heard about Jesus? See, Proverbs 4, we just read it. Incline your ear. And I'm here to announce to you today, in the hearing of your ears, there's a man named Jesus who, when he touches the leper, makes every part whole. He makes him clean. Even the horrible disease of leprosy. And in Mark, in previous chapters, in Mark, around Mark chapter 1 or so, a leper was healed when he came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you're willing, I know you can heal me. I know you can. I just don't know if you will. But she heard about this. See, it says when she heard about Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, circle that phrase, she said, she's talking within herself. She's speaking from her heart based on what she's heard from other people. And she said this, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself virtue had gone out, turned in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? But he looked around to see her that had done this thing. See, Jesus, even though he was the Son of God, he didn't know everything. In that moment, he felt power go out of him. You might say that Jesus healed this woman involuntarily because her faith literally drew, it pulled that power of God right out of Jesus without him knowing. He's just walking along. He's fighting the crowds just like everybody else. He's moving along. You ever been in a crowd like that? You just feel like a cattle? You know, you're just moving along. You don't dare try to move against the flow. You might get crushed, Ben, but you're just moving along. And that's Jesus is that. And he feels that power go out of him. He doesn't know who touched him. But then it says he turned to see her. So I believe the Holy Spirit had begun showing him in that moment. It was a lady who touched you, right? Because it says he turned to see her, she who had touched him, right? His disciples said, I already read that. He looked around to see her that touched him. Verse 33, the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, because she was not allowed in crowds. When you had that kind of disease in the Jewish law, you were not allowed to go among the public. She could have been stoned right on the spot for doing that. She knew what was done in her. She came and fell down before Jesus and told him all the truth. Verse 34, he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. So she exhibited faith. How did she exhibit faith? Well, in the story, we're told two things. She heard something. She heard about Jesus. And she said something. Are you with me? She heard something. And within her heart, she said something. And that saying within her heart drove her to risk her life to go out among the crowd. And she's crawling along there, fighting, you know, knees in her face and shins, in her, you know, bumping up against her in the crowd, just like Jesus was fighting. And she reaches out for his robe because she said within herself, if I can just touch Jesus, I'll be made whole. She brought her faith to the altar. I tell you that often when you come up for prayer, bring your faith with you. Don't rely totally on Terry and I when we pray for you. But you bring your faith here to the altar. She brought her faith for sure. Amen. She brought so much faith, she literally sucked that healing power right out of Jesus. Unbeknownst to him until the Holy Spirit revealed it was a woman who did it. She thought she was in trouble. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? She heard something. She heard something. Go back to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 21. Let them not depart from your what? Your eyes or your sight. What does that mean? Well, we try to do it every week around here. Read your Bible. The preacher's mantra, the endless mantra of every preacher who's worth his weight in salt. Read your Bible, saints. Amen. Don't let these words depart from your eyes. Why? Because they leak. Did you know faith leaks out of you constantly? I know you've read these scriptures over and over like I have, but it's amazing, isn't it? When you put your eyes on it again, you go, oh yeah, I remember that. Sheep are just kind of dumb like that. You know, we just forget stuff. And that's why God says, don't let it depart from your eyes. That's why God moved heaven and earth to get these words written. Written. What did Jesus do to fight the devil when he was being tempted? He said, it is written. You think God places value in the written word? Oh, yeah. It was the very weapon Jesus used to defeat Satan in that crucial moment. So he says here, let's read it again, because you might have already forgot it. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And then here's the promise. For they are life unto those that find them. They are health to all their flesh. Listen, if you're attending to God's word regularly, it means you're inclining your ear to it. You're listening to it. That can come through radio preachers, TV preachers, Scott preachers, any form. iPod, what do they call it? Podcasts, preachers. Listen, I do it all. I'm a preacher junkie. Why? Because I know the word. I have to have it in me constantly. Why? Because I forget. I like this phrase, paper doesn't forget. Someone taught us that about a year or two ago. They said paper doesn't forget, and that's so true. That's why, again, the written word is so valuable, because you can put your eyes on it again and again and keep it in your remembrance, keep it in the midst of your heart. Well, if you're doing that, you're inclining your ear, if you're paying attention with your eyes, with the word constantly before you, and it's filling your heart, there will be a clear indication, and here's the evidence, your words, what you speak, right? Your words will tell us what you've been focused on, be it good or bad, be it the world or the Bible. Be it God's thoughts or the world's thoughts, whoever you're listening to. Folks, I can't tell you, in this day and age, it is so crucial who you allow to influence your life. Yes. I'm telling you, I like cell phones just like the next guy, but I can tell you what, I've learned real quick, you have to be careful, because there's all kinds of voices out there. There are all kinds of voices trying to influence you and influence me, even good-sounding voices. Did you know those are the hard ones to weed through? There's some good, what I would call motivational speakers that say things off the cuff and you go, oh man, that's a great slogan. It sounds real flowery. It sounds real good. And then you got to looking at it and you go, well, how does that stack up with what this book says? And you got to determine which voice you're going to follow. For me, this is my path to life right here. And Solomon wrote these words here in verse 23. If you keep these words in your heart, verse 22. If these words are in you, they are life to you and health to all your flesh. Health to all your flesh. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. We're done in Proverbs 4, so you can let that go. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. There's an element that's often missing, and it's a very, very crucial. In fact, it is the key ingredient to your healing. And so in your victory, in any area, honestly. And it is this, is what we're reading right here in Matthew 12, 34. O generation of vipers, are you there? Jesus is talking to the religious people of his day. He said, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaketh. That's what I was just saying about Proverbs 4. If you keep something in your eyesight, you keep it in your ears, you build it in your heart, the next thing that's going to naturally happen is it's going to just come up out of your mouth. So Jesus said here, out of the overflow, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Listen, guys, if you're into the latest hunting rifle, fishing pole, truck, whatever, you know, and you're just consuming that product detail, the spec sheet, all right, like I do on certain things. Usually it's musical instruments, but you're consuming that spec sheet day and night. What's in your heart? You're building in your heart this overflow. And naturally, when you come to the water cooler at work on Monday morning, what are you going to talk about? The specs of that gadget, right? It's just going to come out because that's what you've been filling your heart with. And Jesus said here, and that's not wrong, it's just make sure you fill it with the word too. Jesus said here, whatever's in your heart's going to come out of your mouth. Now turn over to Luke 6, verse 45. This is the companion verse. Luke said it slightly different, said the same thing that we just read here in Matthew. Luke 6, 45. He adds a little nuance to it. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. What made the difference between a good man and an evil man? What was in his heart. Careful what's in your heart. Attitudes, emotions, passions, appetites, anything that you allow in your thought life becomes your heart. And see, if you have good in your heart, then good will come out. It'll come out of your mouth. Look at the rest of the verse. For of the abundance of the heart, we just read it in Matthew, it's the same idea. His mouth, what? Speaketh. If you got good in there, good's going to come out. If you got evil in there, evil's going to come out. That's why I say, you can't, as a Christian, take on this attitude that says, well, I can watch a dirty movie and it won't affect me because I'm already holy. Why? Because you're putting garbage in your ears and your eyes just like a heathen would. It's going into your heart just like it goes into a heathen person's heart. Guess what's going to come out of your heart? Garbage. I learned that the hard way years ago. I used to like a certain genre of movies, and I, you know, it's just easy to justify in your mind. Oh, well, you know, I'm not listening to all those cuss words because I don't cuss. Guess what? If your ear's hearing it, you're filling your heart with it. It's just building up in there like junk in an artery. And at some point, it will come out of your heart. It'll come out of your mouth even. That would be embarrassing for a Christian. But it's true. If it's filling your heart, because it's going in your ears and it's going in your eyes, it's going to come out your mouth. That's what Jesus said right here in Luke 6:45. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Well, whatever fills your heart flows from your mouth. Jesus, you know, he was so unique. I mean, when you read his Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're taking, it's like, what do they say? It's like drinking something without a chaser. It's like drinking straight vodka, not vodka and a Coke. I know people do that. I don't drink, but I know they mix it to kind of dumb it down. But when you read the Gospels, it's like drinking it, you know, cold. It's like eating it cold turkey. And Jesus did something very unique when he was being tempted by the devil. The devil said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus didn't stop. You know, if it had been us in that moment, we would have gone, well, you know, I am pretty hungry. That would have been the first words out of your mouth. I am pretty, well, my mouth, not your mouth. You're holier than me. But it would have been the first, I am pretty hungry. I mean, I've been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. I am pretty hungry. My stomach feels like it's eating a hole in itself. You know, I mean, these thoughts, these reasonings would come up in your mind and they would naturally be the words you would say. What was the first thing Jesus said? It is written. He didn't even listen to his stomach in that moment. Folks, I'm telling you, when you're in pain, when you're in sickness and disease, your body is screaming. Is it not? And what you got to do is what this guy told me years ago when I had a problem with my car. I couldn't believe he said this. I called the auto parts store. I said, you know, I don't know why I called the auto parts store. I guess I figured they'd give me advice cheaper than a guy at actual garage. But I said, you know, my car's doing such and such. You know what he told me to do? He said, oh, just turn your radio up louder. I couldn't believe it. I hung up. I thought, do you know what that guy just told me? That's not how you fix a car. Just turn the radio up. But you know, the truth is, you got to turn up the word louder than your body when you're sick. Because your body's screaming. Pain will scream to your brain. And you got to scream louder. And how do you scream louder? It is written. That's what Jesus did. Yes, I hear my stomach growling, Satan, but it is written. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What was he saying? I don't have to turn this rock into a Hawaiian bread loaf. That's the kind of bread I like. That's what I would have been tempted to turn it into. I don't have to convert this rock into bread in order to prove I'm the Son of God. Why? Because he had heard the voice of God at the Jordan. Do you remember? Remember when he came up out of his water baptism? God gave him an audible voice. We don't always get the audible voice. Listen, if you don't have the audible voice, you better go running back to it is written. And if your body's screaming pain, 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 sickness, 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 you better go back to what is written, even if you do or don't hear the audible voice of God. You can always lean on this, whether you've heard the audible voice. But Jesus said, man lives by the words of God. He was referring back to that wonderful incident that God gave him before this wilderness temptation, where God said, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And he lived on those words. He said, I've been fasting 40 days, devil, and I know it doesn't feel like I'm the Son of God, but I remember what he said. Amen. He was going back to the word. Amen? This is what you have to do when you're fighting sickness in your body. We all go through it. We all go through it. Turn over to Romans 10. I want you to put your eyes on this verse. Romans 10:10. This verse is actually talking about how we became a Christian, how we believed on Jesus, how we got saved. But you know, when we're talking about salvation, it's applicable in any area. Sometimes your wallet needs saving. You see that commercial on TV, what's in your wallet? And you're thinking, nothing. And your wallet needs saving at that point. But salvation, anytime you read a salvation verse in the Bible, it can apply to any area of your life. It can apply to your health. Jesus comes to save us in our health. He comes to save us in our finances. Amen? How many of you have been saved in your finances by the Lord? Amen. Oh, many times. I'm being saved. I've been saved and I'm continuously being saved. Amen? I'm being healed in my finances constantly. Praise the Lord. Doesn't mean I live in trouble, but I'm being renewed, put it that way. Romans 10:10, look what it says here. For with the heart man, what? Believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want to leave this word unto. I want to drop that in your spirit this morning as a tool in your tool belt for healing, okay? Anytime you're facing sickness. Confession is made unto your healing. Confession is made unto your prosperity. Confession is made unto healed relationships. Amen? Confession is the missing ingredient oftentimes in our life. We got the word in our heart. Maybe we've been reading the Bible, meditating on the Bible, thinking on it, but we haven't yet gotten to the point where we're speaking the Bible. But the Bible tells us right here, confession is made unto salvation. You don't get saved until you confess Jesus is Lord of my life. It's not just believing in the heart, it's confessing with the mouth is what he's saying here. Listen, you're not going to just get healed in your body because you believe in healing. We all believe in healing. If you've been around church for any length of time in the charismatic realm, you understand Jesus came to heal us. We believe in it. We believe it in here. But until you release the word out of your mouth, that healing cannot quicken in your body. Confession is made unto salvation. Are you with me? Confession is made unto your healing. Some of you need to turn on the faucet. You need to let the word come out. You've got it in your heart. You need to take the next step. What's the next step? Let it overflow. Out of the abundance of the heart, let it overflow. You say, well, it feels awkward. I mean, I still got the headache. And you want me to say, by his stripes, I'm healed already? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Confession is made unto your healing. Yeah. Folks, there's a way this works. I'm just telling you, this is the way it works. The Bible tells us clearly here, this is the way salvation works. Amen. You say, well, I tried that. I'm not talking about trying. I'm talking about trusting. See, over and over, the Bible clearly teaches things like this. Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. But in the language in which the Bible is written, the New Testament, the Greek words there mean ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. For how long? Until somebody opens that door. Psalm 34:5. Will you put that up on the screen? You got that, Alan? Psalm 34:5. Those Psalm 34:5 in the King James says they looked unto him and were lightened. In the NIV it says they were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. Their faces were not ashamed. They looked. Again, it's that idea of continual looking. Continual. What do we learn in Proverbs 4? Attend unto the word. Keep it in your ear. Keep it in your eyes. Let it overflow in your heart. It will be life unto you and health to your flesh. When you continually look. Those who look to him are radiant. In the NIV, I should have had you put it up in the NIV, but those who look to him are radiant. Those who keep on looking. This is not a glance. This is a gaze. Amen? It is a gaze. It's in the continual sense. Always in the continual sense. Always in the continual sense. Some of you have been doing this. You say, well, I've been doing this a while. You know, if I was to ask you, if we were to get real specific, because if I was your doctor or your psychologist or psychiatrist, what do they do? They make you lay on this little sofa bed and then they ask you a bunch of questions, right? So how long, ma'am, how long have you been confessing the word? Oh, about a month and a half now. Oh, okay. And how often a day do you do it? How many times per day? Oh, well, I don't do it every day. I mean, you know, once every couple days, I confess that scripture. Oh, okay, once every couple days. You know, there's an idea here about frequency. Are you with me? And if you're not seeing the results in your body that you're believing God for, or in your finances, or in your home, any area of your life that you're trusting the Lord for salvation to come, it could mean an indication of, lack of frequency, right? I mean, if I take if this table here represents a rock, a big boulder, and I take a dropper here and I say, I'm going to drop water on this boulder. I mean, we know water will cut through rock, right? Eventually. I mean, that's what made the Grand Canyon. That was water flowing through there, probably from Noah's flood, if you ask me. But we took a dropper here and I said, you know, this is a rock and here goes the water. Boop, boop. You know, every 5 seconds, boop. Well, in about 5,000 years, we might cut through this rock, right? But now you take that same boulder and you place it in a river. Tara and I were in Washington back in June and we took a picture. You remember the greeting we sent you here? Ben put in a little video clip together for us with our greeting. We were standing next to this rushing river coming down from the mountains and there was big boulders out in the middle of this river. And I'm sure by the time we saw them, they were reduced much more than they were originally at the beginning of creation. Because why? That rushing water moving past that rock, I'm telling you, it will erode it. It will eat it away over time. And yesterday, I took a few moments out of my study time and watched a YouTube video on a water jet. How many of you know what a water jet is? It's like a welding machine. And I watched in about 3 minutes' time an 8-inch block of solid steel get cut by a water jet in less than 3 minutes. I don't know how they do that, but it's just... And they cut this chunk of steel, 8-inch thick steel, with a water jet. What's the difference between my dropper analogy and the water jet? Obviously volume, intensity, right? Some of you need to turn up your volume. Like the guy at the auto part, give me that bad advice. Turn up your volume. And your intensity. Turn up your intensity in the Word. I mean it. You know, we'll go to the doctor in the natural, our physician, and he'll say, take this pill 3 times a day. 3 times a day? Yeah, well, it tastes sour in my mouth when first. I know, 3 times a day. For 2 weeks. 2 weeks? Yeah, 3 times a day. We go home and we take a scripture, and like I said, we might confess it once on Monday. Maybe feel bad for missing Tuesday, Wednesday, and so we do it 2 or 3 times on Thursday. But you know what I'm saying? And then after a week we go, I thought this healing thing was going to work. After a week. You've had that disease how long in your body? Right? I mean, there are people, you know, the depth of the disease, the depth of the condition, on equal amount will involve the treatment, right? You've had something in your body a good while, the treatment may take a good while. Again, we're not trying this, folks. We're trusting this. Amen. When you trust, see, the faith of God never quits, because inwardly the faith of God knows something. When you know this to be true, when you say within your heart, I know that by his stripes I was healed. That is mine. That's for me. And like the woman with the issue of blood, you press through the crowd even at the risk of your own life. And you say, I'm going to touch Jesus if it kills me. And literally it could have killed her. But she said, because I know if I touch him, I'll be made whole. And what happened? She touched his robe and she was instantly healed. There's a wonderful thing that happens in this faith. The moment that faith really kicks in and the power of God is released in us, I can't tell you when that will be. But those of you that have been healed by the Lord before, how many of you have been ever healed by the Lord Jesus? You know that there's a moment, right?
Oh, yeah.
And again, it may not happen the first moment you call out to him. You might cry out for a month, 6 months, a year. God's not in a hurry, but he will heal us. Hallelujah. Now, it's easier just to go to the doctor. But more often than not, they're going to medicate you or cut something off. I'd rather go to Jesus. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Amen. The one who took the nail in his hand for you and for me. Amen? You know, there's an aspect, I've said this many times, but it's so worth repeating. God could have said, okay, you believe on me, you'll go to heaven when you die. Have a great life. And he could have left us on our own. And that would have been wonderful. I mean, to miss hell for eternity and spend eternity in heaven after we die, that's an awesome promise.
Amen.
But he went one step beyond it. He said, I'll not just take the nail for you, for your sin, but I'll take the stripes on my back for your healing.
That's right.
Listen, we have a covenant of healing. He says, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Yes. I'm Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. See, sin, we learned last week, Romans 5:12, I think it was, it says, sin entered and death entered because of sin. So sickness comes on us because sin is in the world. If Jesus takes care of the sin problem, he takes care of the sickness problem, amen, which is the lesser problem. Aren't you glad? So just in review, if you're attending to his words, what does attending mean? You give it priority. Folks, if you're sick in your body today, make this book your priority. I can't explain it, but I shared with you last week. There was a man who was having gastrointestinal problems. He was reading the book of Hebrews one day and instantly healed by the Lord. Just reading Hebrews, not even a healing scripture per se, but just reading the word, attending to the word, attending to the word, attending to the word. If you're sick in your body, give this time, give this priority. Incline your ears. Again, the word has to scream louder than your body, because when you're sick, you're feeling pain, your body's talking, right? It's talking to your brain. You're going to have to turn the volume up of this. This has to be louder than the pain. He said, keep them before your eyes. What does this mean? Not just your natural eyes as you're reading the Bible, as you're reading the word, but also your inward eyes. You know, you have inward eyes. That woman that heard about Jesus, she inwardly pictured, with her inner eyes, she pictured touching that robe. She didn't just say it. She didn't just say it with her mouth, Ben. She saw herself doing it. And that inward vision drove her to accomplish it. You might say it this way. You got to win it in here before you win it out here. You ever heard someone say that? You got to win it inwardly. You got to see yourself winning. So when you hear the word of God, you read these scriptures, by his stripes I was healed. You got to picture that. That every time that Roman whip laid into Jesus' back, whatever conditions in your body was instantly removed. Instantly removed. Every time pain in your muscle removed. Organ healed. Neck ache healed. Every time that whip lashed his back, you got to picture it in here. You got to win it in here. That's what it means to keep it before your eyes. Not just your natural eyes reading the book, but your inner eyes. Are you with me? You got to let it fill your heart. You got to let it fill your heart. It might mean you need to cut out some TV shows and things in order for the word to fill your heart. Things will choke out the word. The things of this life will choke out the word. But if you're sick in your body and you're desperate for Jesus to heal you, you're going to have to give it priority. Let it fill your heart, and then what? Let it come out of your mouth. Amen. Let it come out of your mouth. Mark 11:23 promises, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Not just whatever he believeth, but whatever he saith. Folks, this is for us. I'm not an expert. I'm teaching this because the Holy Spirit said, teach this. I've had an amazing, I'm 57 years old. I've never been to the hospital. Never. I've had some minor toenail surgery done when I was young, but that's it. Never been to the hospital. My dad's 85 and he just went to the hospital been twice, but so. Anyways, it just runs in my family. It's good health. Thank the Lord. Amen. So I'm growing in this myself. I've not been faced with a challenge that some of you may be facing right now or have been faced with in your life. There's some people in here that are probably much greater experts at this than I am because you've overcome some giants in your health. I'm teaching it because it is the word. Amen. Not because I've conquered it myself. I'm growing in it myself. Amen. And the Holy Spirit wants to remind us, stay in the book. Stay in the book. It'll be life to those that find them. It'll be health to your flesh. Stand together with me. Can we just sing that song one more time? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. And let's just take a moment and ponder that wonderful name. Again, what it means. The man who took the nail for us. And why did he do it? So that we could have life. Amen? So that we could have health. Listen, it's not just about living, it's about quality of life. Amen? Because if you live a long time but you're terribly sick, it's like being tortured a long time. But you live a long life and you're healthy all the way, that's cool. Amen? That's great. That's what the Lord purchased for us. Longevity and quality of life. Come on, let's sing it together. What a wonderful name. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Christ my King. What a wonderful name it is, and nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Your precious name given to us to remind us that you are salvation in every area of our life. We can call upon that name. We can apply that name to any area that's lacking, any area that's deficient, any area in our life that is broken can be restored through the power of the name of Jesus. Say his name again out loud with me. Jesus. One more time, say it. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today, you say, Pastor Scott, I've enjoyed your teaching, but I don't know what it is to be a Christian. I've not given my life to Jesus. I've not been saved. I'm a sinner, and I know I need my sins taken care of. If you're in that condition today, today's your day to be forgiven, to be made a child of God, to start a new life in him. And I want to give you that opportunity. We're going to pray a prayer in just a moment. But with all the heads bowed, eyes closed for just a moment for the sake of privacy, if that's you, you say, Scott, I want to be saved today. I want to give my life to Jesus completely. Or you say, I'm coming back. I've been away from God, but I want to come back today. I'm giving my life to him afresh. If that's you, raise your hand real high for me just a moment. Please raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I want to be saved. I want Jesus to come and save me from my sins. Or I want to come back to the Father today and make this a new start. Anybody at all? Thank you. Thank you. Okay, you can put your hands down. Thank you. All right, we're going to pray this prayer together. And if you mean it from your heart, the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes. This is your day to start new, to be made a child of God, to be brought into relationship where God is your Father. And the family of God is available to you to love you, to help you in this journey called life. You don't have to do it alone. It works better with a village, trust me. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear God, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die in my place. I believe that he died, was buried, and on the third day rose again. He is seated at your right hand as King and Lord. And now I invite him, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Save me from my sins. Wash me in your blood and make me your child. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for doing it. Holy Spirit, move now. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you meant that prayer for the first time, the Bible says you just became born again. Your spirit became new, as if you had never sinned. You are washed, the Bible says, in the blood of the precious Lamb. And we rejoice with you. We welcome you to the family of God today as a child of God and as brother or sister to us. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. Well, listen, we do a Wednesday night Bible study. If you're really hungry for this book, you want to know more about this book, we're studying the book of Ephesians right now, and we're having a good time with it, aren't we? I mean, we're studying a couple of verses. We can only get about two or three verses down the way, and it's like so much to chew on. But I'm going to encourage you on Wednesday nights. We meet at the Rotary House here in Alvin. It's at 1304 South Johnson. All those details are on our church website. You can go there. Come check us out on Wednesday night. We meet at 7 o'clock for about an hour. We let you go by 8. Ish, and get you home in time so you can still get up early the next day for work. We love you. This is going to be a great week. We're going into some wonderful holidays. The holiday season is upon us. Aren't you glad? And so glad to have Halloween behind us and Thanksgiving and Christmas ahead of us. Praise the Lord. Focus on Jesus. If you're interested, see Brother Ryan. If you need a ticket for the Chosen movie, if you didn't get on the list but you'd like to be on the waiting list, and we will see you next Sunday here and at the theater as well. Bless you. Have a great day.